This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Steve Rosenblum.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake, come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Good morning, welcome in. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody with you. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Mark Grody, how are you?
Steve, I'm great. I am glad you asked because I noticed we didn't do any kind of Twitter stream of consciousness with one another before the show started today. I was actually glad that you hadn't, because I was, you ever just get locked in on something you're doing, then you're like, oh my goodness, it's time to start what I'm really supposed to do. And I was locked in on the Bears pregame shows on The Score and WBBM, and you know how those are. They start in about an hour, so right. I was doing some editing and putting some interviews together. Then I was like, oh my goodness, I bet I need to hook up right now and start doing a radio show with my guy, Steve Rosenblum. And sure enough, there was the text from Trash Panda. Grody, you're on one. Rosenblum, you're on two. Let's do a show.
There yeah, we're doing radio. So tease us, Mark Grody, a multiple pregame show guest. So what can we expect to hear on various pregame shows? I was going to ask about the timing of the Scores pregame show, because normally the Scores Bet Rivers pregame show kicks off at 9, but with Monday night, it's a different thing with Hub Arkish, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, our Mark Grody, and they're going to bring it all to you. Listen live on the 670 The Score and the radio.com app. Get the latest on inactives, the keys to the game, and all the Bears news. So what is that time frame, and who might we expect to hear from?
Yeah, so I'll jump on with those guys that you mentioned on the score with Hub Arkish and Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley.
Bears.
And yeah, Bears. Exactly. And I will discuss with them whatever it is that they want to know, last second details of the game. There's a lot of things that comes to us from the Bears and from around the NFL that usually I am privy to. So I share information with the fellows, fill in some blanks where I can, and Olin Krutz then tells me what it's really all about. So it's usually, it's hilarious, man. I don't know. Studs, you might be able to find it at some point in time. This is like on the spot. But last week, I did the segment with those guys, and it was like hilarious. It was the hardest I'd laughed all week because I brought up to Olin Krutz, I mean, how dare I even inject anything about the offensive line when you have a future Hall of Famer sitting there in Olin Krutz? And I just kind of offhandedly was talking about the left guard spot and the problems they have there because we haven't seen consistency out of Rashad Coward, nor was it there with Alex Barr. So I brought up the name Jason Spriggs, and immediately Olin just goes, nope.
Nope, that's it.
Nope,
there's your
answer.
That's
it, and I just laughed like I am now, and I said, got it. Yes, sir. Nope, it is, because I am not here. My part on the show, when I go on that show, it is not to try to tell people how it is the way the football lines up. The X's and O's, I'm pretty sure they have well handled, so I do my part and add the information, and I will never, ever, ever inject the formation of the offensive line again. It was hilarious. I love Olin. And then on the WBBM pregame show, real quick, like Steve, just so you know, I'll be on in the very beginning of that show as well. I actually just finished interviews with a really good interview with Mario Edwards Jr. Get to know Mario Edwards, guy that they signed this year, a guy who came up with Khalil Mack, and a large part of the reason that he came to the Bears is because of Khalil Mack, and he's a real cool, affable dude, and I asked him about Mack and what Mack's really all about, and I don't want to give away the whole interview, so you'll have to listen to that when Ron Gleason throws to me. And then the other guy that I spoke to this week is the always energized, he's an energizer machine, he is Mike Fury, he is the Bears wide receivers coach.
All righty then. Wow, that would be that's quite the Mark Rohde lineup for
it is.
Covering
it
a
is.
Multitude of various platform pregame shows. That sounds excellent. The idea of Olin Krutz just go that's it. There's your
and then Hub tried to interject too. Like Hub kind of was
right
like.
Along.
Hub was kind of with me. Like he said, well, you know, Spriggs has played some guard. Nope. Move on.
Something I noticed, guys, last year when I was actually doing all the pregame shows was not to argue with Olin on something like that. Like,
no, there's
no point. Like, he's like, yeah, it's like he's right, you're wrong. Let's move on.
Well, I'm gonna lose to Olin, A, and then I'm gonna lose to the audience. What person listening is being like, yeah, we're gonna take Mark Grody's insight on the offensive line over the guy who played it at a high level for the Chicago Bears for a decade.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that's Bears. Not the way it's going to go. You're not going to argue. Nope. It was just the Olin's answer was, okay, now next subject. Next. There
right.
we go.
It was actually very similar to Charles Leno Jr.'s answer to the question of how do you fix the Bears run game yesterday. It was a two-word answer. And
don't know. Were those the two words?
See, now I'm actually forgetting the two words. I think it was play better.
Okay.
Another thing for studs to find. It's pretty funny. It's in the same. I put it in the same column as or genre of the Scott Skiles. How does Eddie Curry rebound better? And the answer was Steve.
Jump.
Thank you.
Yes, that was it. Play the
hey,
whole
Charles. As a unit, what does the offensive line have to do to get back to where you were in the run game in those first three? You know, in the first three games, what's missing?
Execute better.
How do you do that?
Practice over and over again.
Okay, he's tired
That's
of
it.
That. That's great.
Execute better.
I have Mark Potash trying to elicit an answer. Execute better. How do you do that? Practice. Well, what have you been doing so far that you guys suck against one of the worst teams, one of the worst running defenses in the league, and you had a horrible showing? So much so that you couldn't run the ball to run out the last 4 minutes of the game. A four-minute offense was something that Matt Nagy talked about, if not emphasized. But it's clearly part of every team's game plan. How do we execute a four-minute offense? and his team couldn't. He wouldn't let them. He didn't trust them. I mean, they had, what, 5 offensive linemen, 4 tight ends, and 73 cement mixers on the field, and they couldn't get in from the 1 earlier in the game. So he doesn't trust his run game. He doesn't trust his offensive line. What's your take on all this, Mark?
Well, first of all, I have to admit that I liked the answer from Charles Leno Jr. because at this point, they're out of answers, at least for us. And what is it that anybody has said that we've been like, oh, okay, I get it. I gotcha. Like, so to give that answer, it's deep. It's actually pretty deep because it's just like, you know, you guys see it. You know it. We know it. And we got to execute better. So I actually seriously, not sarcastically, appreciated that answer. And I also appreciate Mark Potash because he asked the question that any of us would have asked. And it, what you didn't hear there was the awkward pause after the first question. But anyway, yeah, it's a real issue. There's no doubt. And when you are not able to consistently run the football, and they were starting to have some success towards the end of the Carolina game, where it's like, oh, okay, David Montgomery pops a couple of runs, and it started to look a little bit better. But when you, like you said, this problem is ongoing. When you need that 1 yard, you have to be able to get that 1 yard, and it puts so much pressure on everybody else when you can't run the ball successfully some of the time. Look, nobody has ever looked for the Bears to run the ball 25, 30 times and truly go old school under Matt Nagy. I don't think even the Bearsiest of Bears fans have wanted that. It's just to have the threat of a run game existing, even if you're not using it at a time, and that has not been there. And then it puts pressure, and this is one of the things I talked about with Mike Furry, actually, the idea that it then puts more pressure on the wide receivers to get that extra yard, where, like Anthony Miller last week, where he was needed 3 yards and he starts going backwards because he wants to make a big play. You know, tight ends, receivers, quarterback, everybody, you know, there's more stress on everybody when you can't run the ball 4 yards at a time.
Well, we will address or investigate or ask questions again about the offensive line at noon. Tom Thayer, a part of the Bears broadcast with Jeff Joniak, offensive lineman, the right guard on the 1985 Bears, the Super Bowl Bears, and we will talk to him. He moved a lot of things around
Bears
to be able to join us today. We appreciate
Did he really?
That. Yeah, he did. Yes, he did, and we appreciate that.
Now I feel bad. I totally appreciate it, but now I feel bad for the other 57 that we're now talking about. Because we talked about Olin Krutz, 57. Now we're talking about 50, the original 57, Tom Thayer. Well, what a mensch.
Why did you just go Grobber? There was the whole Grobber, the original.
Because Grobber is big on telling you how it really was in the original. like Mike Tyson, the second baseman for the Cubs. A lot of people think that Mike Tyson is just originally he was a second baseman for the Cubs. Everybody thinks that. No, he played. He was not a good hit. Mike Tyson was later. I repeat, later. And that's true. The Cubs had a second baseman named Mike Tyson, and Grobber.
Well, you can
do
that, right? That's true. You can do the 57 thing, but you also, if you're going to do it in Grobber's voice, you need to include the spelling of Krutz and explain and offer an entire spelling lesson so we can get there.
Krutes.
Right.
That's how Grobber would spell it, anyway.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to Tom Thayer, but the saying the quiet thing out loud is again the one thing you never want to say about a football player, and especially an offensive line. But they lack toughness. That can be that with everything that gets when you winnow down everything, and you talk about execute, we have to practice better. It's like, what have they been doing all this time? And details and calibrating and all these cockamamie words that the coach is using. It's been said before, but you judge a team, part of the way you judge a team's toughness is, especially the offensive line, they have a go-to play. You know they're going to run it. They know they're going to run it. Everybody knows they're going to run it, and you can't stop it. You know why? Because they're tougher and better than you. The Bears aren't better than anybody in a lot of places. You can overcome some of that. You can deodorize some of that by being tougher. And what Nagy chose to do is he's going to pass as opposed to let his offensive line get pushed to a stalemate or worse, get pushed back when they absolutely need it. But that's not something I don't – well, last time there, I don't know how you practice
yes.
that.
I well, don't know yeah, how not, you practice not even, that. Yeah, and I don't – yeah, tougher is a good word. There's no doubt, but that's a loaded word. And you're right.
Yep.
That's I rarely like to get into the heads of guys. Are they tough or not? Because like I said, I don't know. I hesitate there for sure. But I think it's fair to ask Tom Thayer. Maybe I'll downsize a little bit to can an offensive line 6 games into the season now? Can it get drastically better within a season with the personnel that they have? You know what I mean? Like, with the guy, can you make this offensive line better by week 11 or 12, or is it just going to be a fraction better? And that is a fair question for Tom Thayer.
Play calling can make an offensive line better, and I don't know that there's enough offensive talent otherwise to be able to. I mean, their one go-to play, right, is Allen Robinson, wherever you can find him. That's their go-to play. That's the and Carolina knew that was coming. We're gonna and everybody's gonna take Allen Robinson away, and then they're gonna dare you to find somebody else. And Jimmy Graham has been more productive than I thought. It was nice to see Cole Kmet on a play. Nick Foles said they hadn't even practiced that route, but he was gonna throw it to the guy. He read him. He read the rookie making the bending it in and being there and. That play looked beautiful. That looked well practiced, that play. But if you need to have a go-to play besides we're going to Allen Robinson and everybody in the football world knows it. So in your view, watching this team try to execute and get through it, what happens after Allen Robinson? Where are they?
Well,
what would you say?
Honestly,
what's their next go-to?
I think that some of this still comes down to, in terms of optimism, a moment that we talked a lot about, we exhausted it, and technically, I probably, since it's been, we've taken every inch out of this story, I probably shouldn't even bring it up, but I'm going to. And that was the Thursday night game against Tampa Bay, where you had the fourth quarter heated discussion, whatever it was, between Matt Nagy and Nick Foles. And that's Foles imposing his will a little bit, and the beginning of something of those two guys working together and maybe Nick Foles getting to do things a little bit more his way. Autonomy, which is such a great word. I love saying autonomy. I feel good about myself when I say it. And I think it's a good word that all of us need to move closer to being autonomous. Oh, God, that even felt better. But I think that is what Nick, like, that's the one thing you can lean on, is that this is not Mitchell Trubisky. This is Nick Foles, a guy who has a way of doing things, knows how to win, and will eventually do things more his way. He's not going to ditch his coach or diss his coach, and they're going to work together, and they like each other and all of that. But I do think that Nick Foles, we are going to find, is eventually going to be given the power to do more things his way as the season goes on, and maybe even starting with the Rams game on Monday night.
I think that's a ripe opportunity. I don't know if Matt Nagy worries that he'll get exposed as someone who does not want his quarterback to take over. While he says his quarterback must be a master of all coverage, and he's made that criticism, explanation, hope, whatever, goal. He said that precisely about Mitch Trubisky. But it goes for every quarterback that they should know the playbook better than the coach, and they certainly know the feeling on the field better than the coach. And once again, Matt Nagy showed me he doesn't know how to coach the game that's there, and we'll discuss that in a bit. But the idea I think you're right, that Nick Foles would need to be allowed to have more ownership. I don't know if the coach has the self-security. Maybe he's too insecure to give that up.
Well, I mean, he's made it clear that, I mean, he's been asked, I don't think he's been asked this year, but I think every year at some point in time that Matt Nagy has been around, he's been asked, would you give up the play calling? And so far it's been no. The one thing he did say, I think last year, he said that even if I did, you would not know. So, you know, it's possible that there's been a game. You know what I mean? Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he has handed off play calling. I actually understand, though. I do. From Matt Nagy's perspective, if I was him, I wouldn't be handing over play calling either, because it's his life's blood. It's his value. It's, at least in his thoughts, like, why he exists as a coach in the NFL is offense, and to design offense and to call offensive plays. And if he handed it over at this point in his career, I think he would reduce his own value. So, I guess I'm looking at it through his eyes. Like, why would he do that? And maybe it'd be better for the team, but you can't do that until you're Andy Reid. You know what I mean? Wait till you're 6 or 7 years in and you've won something, and then maybe you throw a bone to one of your coaches. But I actually understand why Matt Nagy would not want to hand that over to somebody. And I don't know who he handed over to at this point anyway.
No, I think that reeks of insecurity, and I think it also misses the fact that there could be a balance. I don't think Nick Foles would be lobbying to go up tempo, to go no huddle, sugar huddle, hurry up for the entire game. I don't think that's it. But if there's a moment where your quarterback thinks that's the way to go, he's looked at the defense, he's looked at his own offense, he sees the matchups. This is the guy you brought in because he's smarter on the field than the guy you overpaid for in spending all that draft capital. That is where you're giving up some control. And it's exactly the point that if you're all about winning, then you have to coach in that moment. Coaching the game that's there, which Matt Nagy is not good at, if you're going to coach the game that's there, the game that was there was Nick Foles saying, I got this. And you as a coach want to get to that point where your quarterback assumes that control and you trust him. That's what it's supposed to be about. How do we have the best chance to win? Well, my quarterback knows what he's doing on the field. He's reading the offense. He's reading the defense. He's reading the situation. You as a coach have to read the situation. And I don't think Nick Foles, I'm certainly not lobbying for Nick Foles to call everything like he was Johnny Unitas and we don't need an offensive coordinator. But those moments should not be so constricted by a coach who seems more in love with pretty shiny plays than he does with coaching the game that's in front of him. That was a point I was trying to make, and that's what I think Matt Nagy has trouble addressing and wrapping his arms around.
I got you. And I think that maybe that starts with when they huddle up on the sidelines, as they do after every offensive possession. When he, you know, this is stuff that I see when I'm down on the sidelines. You see Matt Nagy huddling up with the quarterback, whomever it is. In this case, it's Nick Foles. Sometimes there's a player sitting next to Nick Foles. Sometimes it's Mitchell Trubisky. Sometimes it's Bill Lazor. But when those huddles occur and they're looking at the photographs or they're discussing things, you have to, like, earnestly allow for the Nick Foles input. I mean, everybody's got a voice, but maybe allow sometimes, like you're saying, Steve, sometimes allow the Nick Foles voice to be the last voice in the sideline huddle before they go to the real huddle.
All right. We have, as I said, Tom Thayer joining us at noon. And at 1 o'clock, Jay Zawoski, because the Blackhawks tried to be more transparent, and all I found was a whole bunch of gobbledygook, and maybe Jay can make sense of it, and why Hawks fans should be in favor of this. I don't see it. It just sounds dumb to me, but we'll run it by Jay. And also, that gives us an opportunity, because there is a wonderful, the World Series has presented us with a wonderful opportunity to revisit a food product, a food item, that the I'm Fat podcast definitely needs to opine about. So we will do that. And I believe we're scheduling the replay of Joe Buck interview. Joe Buck was on Inside the Clubhouse, and that'll be in the 1 o'clock hour as well. We have to take a break now, But, Mark, when we come back, we have, we'll sort of play pre-pregame show. There are updates that we need to get to about guys who might or might not be on the field and what it might mean. So we will discuss that, figure out where we are now as the Bears prepare to take off today for Los Angeles for their Monday night meeting against the Rams in a game they should win. And this, there's certain numbers that tell you that. So we'll discuss all that after this. This is Saturday Suckage. Thank you for listening. And the day after my son got married, that was such a thing.
Oh, my God. We're talking about that. We're talking about that later for sure.
All right. We'll get to that. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Rohde. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Top of the hour, we will talk with Tom Thayer of the WBBM 780 AM 105.9 FM broadcast with Jeff Joniak. We'll talk to him about the offensive line and where it goes. And it's not just the offensive line, but it always seems to start or end with the offensive line, and we'll talk to him about that. But, Mark, more importantly, when they head out to L.A., here's something that we don't know. The question is, like, how are the Bears 5-1? How good of a 5-1 team are they? And we'll talk about the Nick Foles rant later on. But the idea that they're – we don't know who's good. We know who's bad. There are a lot of – you know, Falcons are bad. The Vikings are bad. Lions are bad. We don't know who's really good. The Rams' victories this year are against teams with a combined winning percentage of 36%, which is a whole big so what. And the Rams are favored by a lot. The Bears at least have beaten teams whose winning percentage is 48%, helped by the Buccaneers not sucking, although they do suck for signing Antonio Brown. They're despicable. You sign a guy who does those kind of things, been accused of those kind of things to women, and you try to make it all right. It's despicable. But anyways, the Bears should win this game. The Bears, I know they're playing on the road. They're playing a team that you don't know how good anybody is. And I would think, all right, they own Jared Goff. Jared Goff gets jittery. Jared Goff against the Bears has tended to look like the Cowboys. Every time the Cowboys had to come in here and play in cold weather, I mean, it was laughable, right? When they had to play in Soldier Field, it was laughable. They were just getting blown out. But now, update us. Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks. I mean, you're talking about the first two guys on the Bears defense that are going to make you say, hello, what? You game plan around those two guys. So, Mark, what's up with that?
So, Khalil Mack, we were told yesterday that it popped up on the injury report. No, none of us saw it coming. And he missed practice with a back injury yesterday. So, a couple things. We're going to get a report a little bit later on today. I don't know if it'll happen on this show's watch, but I'm keeping track to let you know what the update is for Khalil Mack today. Now, the other part is complicated because the response from Matt Nagy was, paraphrasing, no big deal. This is precautionary. I'm not making a big deal out of it. You know, he says he's going to be fine. But the other part of that is that Matt Nagy this year has been transparent in that he's going to be ambiguous about injuries. That he is going to be fuzzy, and he has apologized to us for it because Matt Nagy's a nice guy, but he has told us, he has kind of warned us, look guys, this is the way it is, and you know, competitive advantage, I think he's even, you know, used that phraseology. So when he says no big deal, he's fine, he's probably going to play and all this kind of stuff, I'm sorry, but I have a hard time just accepting that at its word right now. So We'll find out. And then you know, backs, right? I mean, I have no idea. Like, backs are tricky. Backs are like, they scale from 1 to 20 in variations, right, in terms of how bad. I mean, we've learned that with Anthony Rizzo. Rizzo out 1-2 days, okay, he's fine. And then he's good for the rest of the year. Then it locks up. So it's just unpredictable. The Hicks thing, he's been sick the last 2 days, not COVID. So I don't. That's as far as we know on that. And you never know when a guy's sick. I mean, you always just assume if a guy's sick, he's going to get better. He's going to be fine. So he's had 2 days to get better, and obviously he's got a couple more. So I'm more optimistic at this very second about Akeem Hicks. One of the areas that I'm even just as concerned about, though, is the Bears secondary, because they're banged up pretty badly with some of their depth pieces, with Deion Bush, with Sherrick McManus is hurting, and then Buster Skrin popped up on the injury report as well. And, you know, you need all hands on deck. Now, Skrin, as I do recall, did get burned on a third down and long last year by the Rams. That was the one big play that Jared Goff has had in his 2 years against the Bears. You remember that? It was a play to Cooper Kupp last year. It was about a 50-yard play on third and six that got them down into the red zone. It wasn't a touchdown, but it was a big play. So that was the one time, and there was some sort of breakdown in terms of the help with the safeties on that play. But, yeah, you need all hands on deck. And, yeah, I just don't know. My gut says Mack and Hicks are going to play, but I can't sit here and tell you I'm just going to repeat and parrot what Matt Nagy said.
I get that, and playing at a high level are two different things. You give them credit for getting themselves out onto the field. Their profile tells you that's what they will attempt to do and convince the coaches they're good enough. And then being at their best selves, that's a whole nother question. But as long as you brought up the secondary, we know that DeAndre Houston Carson is going to save the game. So that's already settled, right? He's going to make every game-saving play. He's like, there's the junior version of Mike Brown with the interceptions and the back-to-back weeks. That's just the way this guy works. But, you know, you've talked about Jalen Johnson a lot on this show. And so as he's evolved, and as it's clear that nobody wants to throw at Kyle Fuller, because you're going to get, someone's going to die, they throw at Kyle Fuller again, you're going to get a receiver killed. Jalen Johnson's job becomes even tougher, even more chaotic, even more high volume. And he looks to be handling it like any veteran would opposite an all-pro cornerback. He just looks, he sounded like he fit from the start. And now he's playing like he sounds.
And he expected all this. I mean, not that any rookie wouldn't expect this. When you have all-pro Kyle Fuller on one side, of course they're going to go after the rookie. And he does. I mean, I keep on bringing up Buster Skrin. I had a talk with Skrin one time, and he said this guy's going to be a star. And he said it's because of that he actually does forget the previous play. Because, as Skrin said, cornerbacks are going to give up plays. They're going to give up big plays. They're going to commit pass interference. It's all part of the gig. It's an impossible position at which to be perfect. But when you give up a play of, let's just say, 10 yards or more, it's glaring, and everybody's like, you got to guard him. You're going to give up plays. Unless it's blatantly bad, you have to, I guess, as an observer, a media person, a fan, you have to give a little bit of room for that. And I think most people do. But he does have that thing. You know, he's still got some tests to pass. I mean, I'm not just anointing him as a star yet. But I thought last week was incredibly important, because it was the first game where they really went after him. Not that the previous teams, you know, Tampa Bay, Colts, Atlanta, the Giants, and Detroit, didn't go after him. But it was... that was the plan, man. That was, we're going to go at your rookie. Good luck with it. And he had the kind of success that you would expect from a good cornerback in the NFL. Not great yet, but I think he can get there. And he's going to get more of it this week. I mentioned Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. Those guys are going to be going at Jalen Johnson again. And, man, I don't think you want to go at Kyle Fuller for many reasons, because he will definitely guard you, and he will hit you if you happen to catch the football.
Yes.
Man. And
it always seems to be illegal. That doesn't mean it won't get flagged. I just think that he gets punished. I mean, it was crap the other day. He gets punished for, you could make a perfect form tackle and you could deliver it with all of the vengefulness, viciousness, all the evil you're allowed to in football. And because officials are so used to having guys bail out and so shocked by actual football sounds, and I think that's what they're closest to, the sound of a tackle, he's going to get punished. He's going to get flagged for that, and the Bears are going to get hurt, but you can't have him play any other way.
Exactly, and that's what they've told him, and by all accounts, like, Kyle Fuller is the type of guy who is not going to back down and not hesitate. That's not going to be part of his game. To Sean Gibson, that's something too. I'm sorry to be producing the show on the fly today, Studs, Trash Panda, but at some point in time, let's find to Sean Gibson describing Kyle Fuller, because it's not the usual stuff that you would think in terms of the way he described Fuller. I mean, he basically describes him as a straight up killer.
All right, do you want it right now or do you want it?
Yeah,
later?
How about it, Stevie?
Got a minute?
Got a minute
and 20 seconds. Minute and 27 seconds.
This is really good. Good job, Studs.
Right,
good job.
I've never been around. Like I said, I've never been around a corner that hits like. Man, I've been around some physical corners, man. I think Jalen is one of the most physical corners in the league. But Kyle Fuller, man, he got like a mindset, man. I've never seen a corner with that type of mindset. It's refreshing to know that, one, your corner's not scared to tackle, but hey, man, your corner lane boom sticks, man. His sticks on people, man. Instead of the safety having people scared to come across the middle, we got a corner. Got teams scared to throw crossing routes across the middle, man. It's cool though, man, because he don't even get excited. I think I'd be more excited when he let boom than he do, man. He just an even kill guy. He just he'd knock a guy out, man, and just walk off. Like, I've never seen nothing like it in my life. I've never seen a dude lay boom hits and he don't have any type of reaction after that. It's just kind of like it's normal, man. It's cool because, like, the more you be around Kyle, you just realize, like, man, his personality, he's always at a two. You know, he's never going – his intensity never – might get past a four, man. A four is pushing it, man. But the man can just go out there, he can flat out ball. And when you talk about physical cornerback, man, I mean, he's never shying away from contact. And I mean, that's refreshing to know you got a cornerback that can come in and do that, man. And I think Kyle's not only just a pros pro off the field, man, but he's all pro on the field, man. And he's exceeded my expectations by far.
Isn't that awesome, man? Boom.
It is. Just, you know what?
Corner.
His boom speakers go to 11. His boom goes to 11, and they love it because that's football. You're a defensive player. That's football. And Kyle Fuller plays football, and then he gets flagged for it, and you feel you can't really yell at him. You don't want to dial any of that back because it's all you can do is send in tapes and say, look, this is crap. Officials got to get their stuff going. But I love listening to Sean Gibson because every player loves that. They want to – they hear it. They feel it. They see it. They know their guy's doing it. He's really – he's loving it, isn't he? I've heard from Deshaun Gibson before.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah, his entire – like, we should hear more of him later because he also talks about the disrespect – that the Bears have gotten nationally. And again, he's calling people out. It's pretty fun. It's pretty intense. And he's kind of having fun with it, but and you knew we would get to that point where, and it's true. I mean, they're 5-1 and everybody's dogging them. So let's hear more from him later on for sure. I want you to get to know Deshaun Gibson because he's been great with us and he says cool stuff. But the larger point I thought from Gibson, and I know we got to get to a break, the larger stuff from Gibson there was that how often do we see or have we seen, like, can you think of examples of cornerbacks who were laying wood, who were doing the boom hits, as Gibson put it? It's usually the safeties. It's usually the safeties' job to do that. Not a lot of cornerbacks who are willing, as even Chuck Pagano put it, he says he's seen a lot of cornerbacks make business decisions in their lives, and they'll leave the hits up to the big boys. So it is very unique what we're seeing. I can't think of a whole lot. You know, Charles Tillman was a fairly physical player. You know, Donnell Wolford, if you want to go back further, was a pretty physical guy cornerback-wise. But even not even necessarily on the Bears. Nobody really jumps to my brain in terms of cornerbacks who were very, you know, big time in terms of hits.
That's a really good point. I know we have to take a break, but I have to go back. Old-timers will go with me on this. Mel Blunt of the Steel Curtain. He would blow you up. And that was what he was all about. In fact, he was part of the criminal element. That's what that's the way it was described, part of the criminal element in football. Well, he's going to blow you up tough.
Right.
All right, we'll take a break. We come back, more nonsense and suckage, because that's what we're about on Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. And we'll go from there. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Rohde, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's not 10. You see, you're on 10 here. Where can you go from there? Where?
To 11.
11, exactly.
Right, and the boom speakers go to 11 when you're to Sean Gibson.
He's going to 11.
All right,
we'll 11.
So good to hear that movie. Always.
Uh-huh. Oh. Nicely done, studs.
Hey, you know, me and my friends made a mock of that mockumentary in high school. It was really funny.
I bet it was hilarious.
I didn't think you could do that. I didn't think you can't mock the mockumentary.
Well, we did.
Parody the parody.
The studs mockumentary.
I don't even think I can say the name that we called our band on air. Like, that's how ridiculous it was. Like,
okay.
That's now you've got that movie in my head. There's probably going to be a viewing of it at some point in time after 2 o'clock today.
Did you film this somewhere? Is it on YouTube somewhere?
I lent the DVD. I had it for the longest time after high school, and I can't remember what I did with it. It's out there somewhere. I want to say I left it at a friend's house or something like that. So it's out there somewhere, and it's totally ridiculous. I was the drummer, so of course I got killed off.
Good.
Of course.
Good.
Yeah. And it's the whole thing is just ridiculous.
They should have, you know, there should have been the next level of that, of drummers dying that we haven't seen in real life yet, is the drummer coming back to life. That's the next level that I would like to see, because you're right, all drummers either die or get fired from the band. How about a drummer coming back to life? I'd love, like John Bonham, he's back. And he is now drumming for Creed.
Oh, God, please no.
You know, yes, because anytime you get the chance to reanimate John Bonham, you do it. You just take it.
Yeah.
And wherever he lands makes that band better, right? Isn't that the idea? Shouldn't Trash Panda accept that that's the idea? Mark, you got to... You got the right idea. Bonzo,
I think so.
Bonzo would make I mean, come on, if you were a Nickelback, you know how great they'd be?
Yeah. Or how about this? How about the one arm guy from Def Leppard gets another arm back? He gets a mechanical arm, so he doesn't have to play with a hook in the one arm guy, and Def Leppard gets two arms. I think that'd be great.
You find that man. It's all I can think of.
Unlock me!
Guys. Yes.
Yes, the one arm. What about the one arm guys? He got one of these little doohickeys?
No, he's got, yeah, here, play the drum. You got a drum banging pad. Try it with your new arm.
It's pretty cool, man, that the guy from Def Leppard can definitely drum, bro.
That's it. Yep. There you go. All right, we're definitely going to take a break when we come back.
I'm sorry we're not talking Jersey Boys here, Steve. I feel like we got a little out of your element. I'm sorry.
No, I'm all for that. I'm reanimating John Bonham is certainly within my wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's what I was really trying to land on, something we could kind of agree on, and instead of going modern rock like I'm wont to do.
Well, we can agree on talking to Tom Thayer. We will do that next. We'll talk offensive line and Bears, and they're going out to play the Rams, and they should win that game. Nobody knows who's good, really, in this NFL, so the Bears might as well win this game. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Rohde. Saturday Suckage, of course. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney+ and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.